I got a direct phone call from the chairman of the county council, the governing body of Defiance County. He wanted to know who was behind all the flyers, and especially the ad in my newspaper, suggesting in a roundabout way that I reconsider printing any more of Maggie's ads. Why is that, Mr. Chairman? Frank, he said, I ain't stupid. We both know that girl is all over the state causing trouble. A two-bit harlot, sponging off hard-working men she gets to fall in love with her. I politely suggested to the chairman of the county council that he stay the fuck out of my business. It was Deputy Worthy on the phone. Said he was calling from a payphone on the street. So they can't trace my call, Frank. Aren't you being a little paranoid? I said.
I mean it, Frank. Meet me at the Itasca Bridge, now.
I asked him if this was about the fluff piece he'd been talking about.
What do you think, Frank? Use your motherfucking brain.
Give me 10 minutes. Worthy was waiting in his squad car. I pulled my truck alongside. Let's make this quick, he said. Can't let nobody see me talking to you out here, you get it? Talk to me, I said. Frank Upton, you ever invest yourself in something you believe in? Come to find out the whole thing was a total fake. Yeah, I said. The newspaper business.
I don't know, Frank. It wasn't supposed to be like this when I was in police academy. My boss, the chief of police, the mayor's office, the county chairman, a whole bunch of others at City Hall are like, they're too close to the coal company, Frank.
Keep talking, I said. I flipped open my notepad. Worthy told me to put that away. Strictly on background, I said. Off the record, Worthy. What else you got?
Well, they come in through the back alley, said Worthy. Head straight to the mayor's office and lock the door. Seen him maybe the last 3-4 times I worked the night shift. Have you seen the mayor's new piano, Frank?
What exactly are you talking about?
The mayor and his wife have a new baby grand piano, Frank, courtesy Allied Coal. There's a party at the mayor's house Saturday night. His wife is to provide entertainment, Frank, playing some of her favorite tunes on her new piano.
A call came suddenly on his squad car radio. He answered it.
Gotta run, Frank. Restraining order violation.
Why don't you think about crashing that party, Frank? I'll be working security. See you there.
Worthy didn't have the capacity to pull one over on me. That's why I trusted him. I know a stooge when I see one.
I took an armload of newspapers with me, over to Pete's Tavern.
The Lincoln County Reader, the Jasper Journal, High Rock Democrat. It was a routine of mine. Take a corner booth and catch up on the regional news over drinks. A matter of minutes, and in walked Maggie.
They said you'd be here.
She slid into the booth with me. Pete brought us whiskey and beer.
The High Rock Democrat did a piece on me last month.
I know. Maggie wasted no time on her whiskey. You don't know this, but you and I are going on a date, I said.
Yeah, right, Frank.
She made a fist and punched my shoulder. Yeah, we're gonna crash a party at the mayor's home. I told her about the piano.
Oh my lord, what shall I wear?
I parked the pickup on the street and we started up the sidewalk. Maggie had changed into a black dress. I never took you as a dress girl. It's pretty.
Pretty? Shut up, Frank.
She punched me again.
I'm a chameleon.
Where do you stay? I asked her.
At the women's hostel in High Rock. You got a problem with that?
The mayor's house was a great big plantation-style colonial on a woodsy bit of land in the Hyde Park neighborhood of Defiance. People there felt comfortable with doctors and lawyers for neighbors. The lawn was aglow with the radiant light of the party within. We caught Deputy Worthy's attention right away.
And who was your lovely date tonight, Frank?
Ha! Your date?
Strictly business, Worthy, I said.
He didn't buy it. Whatever you say, Frank.
Worthy took us to a side entrance.
This way, you'll sneak right in, he said. It's a big old party. You might not even go noticed, Frank.
I doubt that, I said. The side entry opened onto a small mudroom off the kitchen. There, gray-haired men and their wives grazed on a massive spread of finger foods.
Oh, how delicious.
I took a gulp off the flask that Maggie had with her whiskey. And we stepped right in and filled our plates like we belonged. A girl came by with a tray of champagne, and we each took two. The girl gave us a look. You two don't belong here. The champagne went down like shots of whiskey. We shouldered our way to the most discreet corner we could find that gave us a view of the festivities in the piano room, an audience of empty suits and cocktail dresses soaking up the song stylings of the mayor's wife. So, the mayor spotted me immediately. I don't recall inviting you, Frank, he said to me with a smile. You didn't, I said. Just came to see the new piano, Mr. Mayor. Is the county chairman in on this too? And which one of these gentlemen is with Allied Coal? Is it that one over there with the funny hat? I introduced Maggie. This one's a troublemaker. Goes around doing what's right for working people. Like striking coal miners.
I'll speak for myself, Frank. And by the way, Mr. Mayor, you might want to tell a lady of the house that this chicken is terribly overcooked.
Get the hell out of my home, said the mayor, walking us to the front door. And if any of this shows up in that raggy newspaper of yours, Frank, I'll sue. Fine, I said. I trust my attorney, Braddock. Have a good night. Maggie pulled me down to a bonfire in a meadow out back. We smoked reefer with the cocktail girl. Her name was Brandy, and a few of the house help.